And we are gathered here. It is Friday. I'm so glad to see you again. Like I always tell you, you could have been somewhere else, but you decided to come here. And me and a pastor friend was talking yesterday. I was checking up on his prognosis on his surgeries, difficulties he's had for the last 6 months. And he kind of asked me about how this was still going. You know, and I said, well, to be honest, the faithful four are still showing up. So as long as they're showing up, I'm going to do what the word says to remain faithful. And then the Lord keeps placing messages on my heart. I'm going to keep bringing them to you. And I hope that you do get something out of them. Like I told you, I'm not out to, you know, make something of myself. I mean, we can just call this a quits and move on. You know what I mean? It's just, I enjoy, you know, being led and asking God, you know, what to preach. Because me and my wife was talking the other day. She seemed surprised that I re-listened to my own messages. Now, you might find it kind of funny, but, you know, even though when I do type my notes and I do type my messages, I do type my outline, and even though I stand here and I preach the word to you, you know, yes, folks, I do re-listen to my messages, because a lot of times it's different. You know, I can stand here and preach it. You know, it does speak to me. It does. But, you know, a lot of times when I just sit down and be still just to listen to what I said, I get more out of it. That's just me, you know. But it does mean a lot to me, but I hope it means something to you. I hope that over the past years that you have been attending this, do get something out of it. So I think God's doing this for a reason. And to kind of give you a heads up, when I get back from vacation, I'm not going yet, it's in 2 more weeks we're gone. But when I get back, I'm going to talk to one of my friends who runs another site, and he kind of told me the other day on Skype that he has a new program that works on all platforms. So, you know, he did make an offer to me once when we got attacked on the IRC network, and we went to that so-called junky outline, you know, type chat room, but that was all available. And he has something similar to that, but he said it works on everything, iPhones, iPads, tablets, you know, Macs, Windows, whatever. So he made an offer to me once, you know, about creating a chat room over there. And I might ask him if that offer still stands, still may do one. That way I won't have to deal with it. But, you know, the website is still running. You know, I mean, even though the rankings have fell down, it's on page number 6 now, but because it's not getting no traffic, it's just a blog type site. But, you know, again, I'm thinking about doing that. So just be looking out for that. But again, it's Friday night. Thank you for being here. It's such an honor to present the word to you. And folks, I'm glad to be the one to present the message to you. You know, and this is why, again, you know, I'm honored. You know, I'm just honored because, hey, you know, y'all could be going to Walmart. You could be going to eat out. You could be doing whatever you want to do. But you come here. So that makes me feel good, you know. And I'm not trying to chase feelings, but it does give me encouragement. You know, at least I know that as long as I prep these messages, it's going to be put to good use. Amen. So those of you who were here last week, you know, my buddy Fred, he missed out on it. But, you know, again, I'm glad to see him here this week. But those of you who were here last week, or for those who listened to the message that I gave last week, the topic of that message was making a different turn. And some of you commented afterwards, you know, thought-provoking and everything else. And, you know, I re-listened to it, you know, yeah, I was thinking, you know, a lot could have went on if we would have made a different decision. So in this message tonight, you know, I was thinking about it when I was listening to that message from last week. But in this message tonight, I was thinking which direction to go. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'm already got, let me find a better words to say it, that I got a few directions to go and run around my head, or a few directions of things that whenever I meditate and pray, because I do have a little tablet by my bedside, and whenever something gets placed on my mind and my heart, I immediately write it down. It's kind of a rough sketch, you know, and then I'm led in all different directions, and I'm writing this and copying and pasting this and piecemealing that and borrowing a little bit from here and a little bit from there. It's like us cooking. You know, we put a little pinch of salt here, a little pepper there, a little few little sausages, a few little onions, making a roux and this and that. So, you know, we're kind of throwing things together. We're cooking. That's what I kind of do with messages. You know, I start looking at books and commentaries and many other things. And at first, it looks like it's amounting to nothing. But in the end, when I get done with it and tying it all up, it comes into the message I present to you on each and every Friday night. So while I was writing this one, I was listening to that message of last week, you know, and then, yes, folks, like I said, I do listen to them as well as rereading my notes. Most times I do that too, to listen to my mistakes. You know, that's how we improve on it. So the Holy Spirit led me to this passage that I am about to read to you. And listen to what it really says. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 16 through 17. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 16 through 17. If you got your Bibles, you can open there. If not, our dear friend Lisa, she will be posting them. So this is what it says. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Spirit led me there. I said, okay. I had to stare at that passage for a while. I had to kind of think about it. You know, I was quick to jump the gun and jump to my commentaries to see what the commentaries is, because, you know, I'm still studying the Word. I'm still immersing myself in the Word. Anybody who makes a claim they know everything about the Word, well, I kind of shake my finger at them. I don't think so, but, you know, I'm still learning. But when I read this passage, I'm thinking, okay, what you trying to do here? You know, I just sat here at this desk. I just kept looking at that passage. So this is why now I want to let this sink in a bit and for you to think. What does this passage really mean? You know, you stare at the text and you kind of look at it like, what does this passage really mean? Well, I am sure after you are giving it some thought, I'm sure to me, after giving thought to this, that the Holy Spirit may have placed something on your mind once you read the meaning of those passages. Now me, I will say this about that. And what I read about it and what I saw, what my thoughts were. Are you ready for this? After looking at that passage, here's what my thoughts were. My thoughts are that before men can believe, there must be something for them to believe. I'm going to repeat that. After reading that passage, and my thoughts were, before men can believe, there must be something for them to believe. That's something, my friends, I think we all know all too well, that something is the Word of God, which we preach and they hear. We must be remembering, or we must be remembered, that the word, when you look at those passages, the word for report in Romans 10, 16, and for the word hearing in Romans 10, 17, is the same, but with a slight difference of meaning. Lisa kind of asked me about that a little bit earlier, because I use different translations, and that's why you got to really pay particular attention to the words, because a lot of times when they're coming out with different translations, the words may look the same, and the words may mean the same, but they may have a slightly different meaning. And that's why, and I'm not suggesting it to you, but you know, for me, that's why I have to go to the Greek concordance in Hebrew and Greek. I really have to look at it because, again, the words may have sound different or look different, but they still come to the same meaning or the same conclusion. But it's just how you're trying to use it to make your point. It's just, to me, you know, I'm just used to that. It's just the way we were trained as pastors. You know, I could stick just to one translation, but sometimes, you know, if you change the word a little bit, it has a slight different meaning, but you really have to look at it in content in its original transcripts to see the full meaning. And this is why I say, you know, when you look at those two words, it is the same, but a slight difference of meaning. In the first place, both the act of the hearer and the preacher are involved in those two words. And in the second place, only the act of the hearer, those who are receiving it. So when you look at the Hebrew term for the word, and the word in Hebrew means dabar, D-A-B-A-R. That's the Hebrew meaning. And if you look at it in reality, it is used 394 times in the Old Testament to characterize a communication as the word of God and the word of the Lord. As such, it is the expression of his being. That's what it boils down to. See, the word of the Lord is the supreme means by which God makes himself known to us, his creatures. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel and others through his word. By such a word, the world was brought into existence, and history set in motion as we know it in Genesis. We all know the beginning of the passage, what it said. What was the very first word spoken in the very first chapter of Genesis? Anybody can type that real fast? I know some of me, I'm a slow typer. Okay, see, some of you are waiting. It says, in the beginning. It didn't say in the middle. It didn't jump right into something right off the bat. It didn't say in the ending. It was telling us that the world was brought into existence and the history was set in motion by the word. And God said, in the beginning, let there be light. You ever thought about that? Why didn't you just say, well, let there be darkness? Let there be plants. Let there be water. Let there be animals. How about let there be food? Man, I could go for a pizza right now. I don't know about you, but how come he didn't word it that way? How come the very first thing he says, in the beginning, let there be light? Now, some of the things like a light, like a lamp, flashlight, candle, sunlight. But you ever thought about the light was the illumination of Jesus Christ himself? Jesus was the light. Not light as we know it. He was telling us Jesus already existed and always has and always will be, along with God, along with the Spirit. Because you study Genesis the rest, and you see, friends, really, the talking of the Trinity. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the Trinity. It's already telling us God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Some people don't look at it that way, but I just kind of threw it out there. Because, see, to me, folks, the word of the Lord is the source of life, a light to our path, the understanding of reality, and the most important thing, exceedingly trustworthy. Friends, to trust and have faith to believe God's word, pay attention to this, to trust and have faith to believe God's word is the very essence of receiving the promises that he says we can have. Let that sink in. Our reading for tonight is going to be Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. And pay attention to what it says. And I know sometimes we use different translations, but look, as long as you're reading the Word of God, the Word speaks. Plain and simple. But it says right here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Whew. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand here before you, or sit, or however it may be, the first thing I ask of you, Lord, if there's anything within my heart, my mind, I have not confessed to you before I came to you to preach the word to these kind folks here, I'm asking of you right now to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. I dare not make a statement saying that, hey, I didn't sin, I hadn't done nothing wrong, I hadn't thought nothing wrong and all that stuff, because again, your word says it very clear. If I make a statement like that, your word says I am a liar. Father, I need you each and every day in my life. I need your guidance, your strength, your courage, your wisdom. I need full understanding of the Word, because the Word needs to feed my spirit. And if I didn't really come to you for that, or ask of you of that, what a mess I would be in. Father, I ask of you to bless all those who are here. Again, as I said earlier, they could have been elsewhere. They could have went and done their own little thing. But they decided to come here to hear this message, to see what it's all about. And as I said earlier, Lord, I'm not trying to paint a pretty picture on me to say, oh, look how I can preach and this. That's not my intention. My intention is to be a servant to you. So anoint the folks that's here tonight. Watch over them. And Father, we have a special request, because Jesus says again, I ask in his name, that one of our dear friends here has seemed to have lost her license. She can't find it. I know you tell us, you know, be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing. You know, we do concern ourselves with things. But so I ask of you, that whenever she sits here calmly, let her mind be focused on the message. But then afterwards, help her find that license. And even if you decide not to help her find it, then she's just going to have to trust you that you know what you're doing. And it's not the end of the world. It never is. So, Father, I ask you to hear her prayers, to answer the prayers. Whatever the answer may be, I don't know, but I'm asking in the name of Jesus right now. So I ask of you to be with us, strengthen us, watch over us, and show us the correct path we must walk. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. As always, I'm going to grab some this good, well, it's not good high quality water, but it's water. So the title of tonight's message, and y'all seen it on Facebook, and I sent it to y'all on links and whatever, it's called Power of God's Word. We all know what power is. If you plug in a light to a wall socket and you turn the switch on, guess what? The light comes on. Because you know you got power going to that light. You plug in your iPhones, your radios, your TVs, and whatever, your blenders and microwaves and all that stuff. We all know everything that goes on has to have power in order for it to work. Now, so ironic, folks, that if we don't tap into that power for a spiritual side, guess what? It's not going to work. You have to plug yourself into the power source. You have to understand what the power is and where the power is coming from. So now, in this passage, it should mean a lot to us. And when I said in my last message, when we heard the good news or the gospel, and when we were asked the question, where would you go if you would die today? Heaven or hell, because there is no in between. We could have made a different turn. We could have said no. I don't need that. I'm going my own way. I got to give up too much in order to follow you. Now, we could have made that different turn and said no. But those of us who did say yes, and also those of us who said, yes, Lord, I follow you. I follow you. We responded because the word pierced our hearts. Think about that. I didn't think about it until I started prepping this message. We responded because the word pierced our hearts. Because when I was asked that question that night, when the pastor looked at me, and he just looked at me eyeball to eyeball, and he asked me, and I call it the loaded potato question, you know, I kind of make a little pun out of it, but he asked me that question. Jim, if you were to die tonight, where would you be? And immediately I knew the answer. And that was only by the power of God to show that answer to me. And I responded from what I heard, from what I read, what I saw in the Bible. And I knew then I was a rotten sinner, destined to hell. And I had to make a decision. And my decision that night was yes. Yes. And this was the point in my life when I was having all those thoughts running in my mind. And you may have had the thoughts or the same thoughts maybe. I don't know what you were thinking at that particular point when hearing the truth about Jesus. You found out one important thing. That's what I did anyway. I found out during that passage, that time, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's like time almost slowed down, but there was so much thinking going on. But I found out one thing when I was asked that question, I had to make a decision. I found one important factor in my life. That Jesus was not number one. In fact, Jesus was nowhere in the top 10, the top 20, or the top 30. He wasn't exactly on my list. It seemed to me that everything in life, my life, was more important to me than a life with Jesus. That's what it seemed like. Well, my life is more important than that. I don't need him. But I knew the truth. And this is when I knew it, when I realized another factor, that I could not take the things of my old life with me when I left this earth. I couldn't bring it with me. Nothing that we have in this life, this planet, we ain't going to take with us to God's kingdom. All this is going to go to rust or eaten up or whatever. But we ain't going to take none of this stuff with us. See, upon hearing the truth in his word, I knew, and I surrendered my life to Christ, and I made him Lord of my life. I made him number one in my life. Then, at that point, I had no clue, I had no understanding, but I started studying the Word of God, and I'm still studying the Word of God today. How about you? And what this proves to me, that there is power in the Word of God, and hearing the Word, it made a change in me. It cut me, folks. I mean, it cut me to the very core of my being. It opened my blind eyes. And in the gospel message, all of us knows this. We all know it by heart. There's power in the word of God. Now, I'm not going to stand here and try to say, hey, Mr. Jimmy, super Christian. Nope, I'm not. And yes, there are times that my faith does need a boosting. So what I do, I take a shot of God's medicine, the Bible. And I don't believe it's any secret faith. I don't believe that. There's no secret faith about it. There is no secret about it. I don't believe it's any secret that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But our flesh has many desires, and sometimes we just have to put those desires aside and study the word so our faith will grow. So in tonight's message, we're going to cover the word power, P-O-W-E-R, and what it means in God's words. The first word, P, meaning penetrating power. See, in Hebrews 4:12, as we just read, and if you look at that passage, Hebrews 4:12, as we just read, look what it said, folks. The word of God piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's heavy duty. And what this means is that God's words penetrates the hearts of sinners. It brings forgiveness to those who repent and believe. God's words penetrates the hearts of his people who are loaded down with burdens. It provides comfort to his trusting children. How do we know this? Very easy. Let's read Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165. Look what it says. I love it how it's worded. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Woo! Look at it, folks. Nothing can make them stumble. Friends, when we get to know the Word of God, peace will be given to us, and His words do comfort us. It guides us. It leads us. And most important, it shows us the right way of living. There is no wrong way in God's words, only the righteous way. The second word, O, meaning, and I love this one, there's a movie about it now, overcoming power. Whew. Yeah, we're overcomers, folks. But look what Luke chapter 4, verse 8 says. Luke chapter 4, verse 8 says this. And Jesus answered, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is said. Nah, now wait a minute, that can't be right. He said, get behind thee, Satan, for it is, maybe? Knows what he said. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And he went on further to say that you should worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. He didn't say nothing else. That was it. Whew. Satan was acting like a big shot then, but guess what? When you heard that, oh, I bet it pierced him something awful. Oh, he didn't like that. He didn't like that one bit. You see, we all know from reading this passage, just a wonderful passage, that we see Jesus, when he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, he overcame through the power of God's word. So what does this show us today, born-again believers? Well, for one, as a child of God, the enemy will come at you. That's right, he will. He comes at you because he hates you, because you are born again and have accepted Jesus Christ. That's why he hates you. You accepted the truth. You surrendered to the truth. And you were born again. The old you died. The new you began. And as followers of Jesus, and we all must learn this, we must depend on God's words to overcome the onslaught of the enemy and also not of ourselves. And like Paul, when he said in Romans 8:37, familiar passage, but Paul said in Romans 8:37, which says, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow. I love that. How about you? Other words, folks, what this means that we mean more to him than he who is of this world. And in him, Christ Jesus, we are conquerors. And we can overcome whatever the enemy throws at us through the power of Jesus Christ. Woo! You get that? You understand that? I wonder sometimes if some Christians do. Not saying this in a bad way, but man, a lot of times when I'm preaching from the pulpit and I'm looking out there, it looks like I am attending a funeral. Looks like everybody died. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. We are alive. How can we be dead? Man, everybody's got frowns on their faces. They look like they're down in the dumps. Hardly anybody smiling. Wow. But yet when Romans 8:37 clearly says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, that we have the power through Jesus Christ, woo, we ought to be shaking our hands up in the air saying, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. Instead, some of us is watching our watches, man, I'm ready to go eat. Oh, the preacher's boring. Ah, he's preaching again on tithe. Oh, he's preaching on it. Ah, that little baby back there starting to annoy me. This dude next to me, he's kind of taking up my armrest area. He needs to kind of slide over a little. Oh, good grief. We're missing something at this particular point. We're overcomers. We shouldn't be worried about other things. We should be there praising God and glorifying God and raising our hands up and giving thanks to him for what he has done for us on the cross. Oh, man, he has power. And I will confess this. I forget that sometimes, too. I do. I should be ashamed of myself when I do, but I do. Now, here we come to the third word, W, meaning. Now, you have to understand, when I said overcoming power, here's the great thing, meaning the word W, wonder-working power. We all know that hymn that sings, wonderful working power in the blood of Jesus. If I had it, I would try to sing it to you, but I don't want to run you off here. So anyway, but it means wonder-working power. How do I know that? Very easily. Luke chapter 5, verse 5 says this. It says, and notice this when he was talking to Peter. When the Lord gave him a command, he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I have to be the one to admit it. I'd be thinking like, who's this crazy kook telling me what to do? Man, I am an experienced fisherman. I've been fishing the better part of my life. I know all the tricks of the trades. I know the tides. I know when the moon is full, when the moon's not full. I know exactly when the fish is stirring, when the fish is not stirring. And here comes this cat right here telling me, after I've been tolling all night long, trying to fish, it ain't caught not even a nibble, and he tells me to go ahead and cast the net down. See, that would kind of been our first human response. But what do you end up doing? Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I'll let the net down. Folks, you got to understand the power. Power in the word. Peter didn't know it yet, but he was fixing to experience it. Wow! That's why I love this one. When Peter obeyed Christ's words, and the miracle happened. The overflow broke the fishing net. Man, it broke that thing wide open. He had to call out, hey, come out of here. Man, we got so much fish, it's breaking our nets. We're about to fall over. And two other ships were filled with fish. Whoa, how wonderful is the word of God and what it can do, friends. And the good news is, that the power of God's words is the same today as it was yesterday. It never changed. We are the ones that changed. We are the ones that changed. Not God's words. It's still power in His word. And Jesus even said this in John chapter 15, verse 7. And he said it just like this, folks, very simple. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. You get that? You get that? This is the truth, folks. It's real. It's power in the word. He's basically telling you that, you know, you should ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, unfortunately, some do ask, hey, I like a Lamborghini, six-bedroom mansion, $1 million. Some people do ask that. It doesn't happen. And they get bent out of shape. Well, Lord, I ain't serving you anymore. I ask you for this because your verse says, asking what you will, and it shall be done. How come I don't see it happening? Well, sometimes you got to understand. Is that a selfish request? Is it glorifying God? Is there going to be any glory out of this, or is it just for you? Most important, it's not about your timing anyway. Yeah, I'm still waiting on my $1 million home. I'm still waiting on my fancy Lamborghini. Hey, I wouldn't mind having a corporate jet on top of it too. Could it happen? Yeah. Will it happen? I don't know. God's the only one that knows that. But I'm content in what He's done for me. You see, folks, what I'm trying to say right here, God's words are working power in all of our lives. And that the power is real in us and all around us. Live it and enjoy it and rest in Him who will provide for us. No matter how hard it may be for us, trust Him and let Him do what's best for us. Let us quit trying to dictate to Him, I know what's best for me, and I know what I need, and I know what you got to do, so I'm asking this request from you. I'm telling you what you got to do, and I'm telling you what I need, so this is how it's going to be. Folks, you better get that notion out of your head, because again, God is going to do what's best for you. But He already knows what's best for you. We don't. We ain't got a clue. But trust in Him. Yeah, folks, I got $1 million mansion I'm in right now. That's right. 3-bedroom trailer on wheels. That's wonderful. A nice comfy bed in the back. Cute little Volkswagen Beetle in the driveway. Food on the table. Shoes on my feet. A roof above my head. That's a miracle alone. You think it ain't? Next time you go to town somewhere to go grocery shopping or whatever, and you see some poor guy on the street living in a cardboard box, dirty, filthy, then you think about your request. Then you start thinking, wow, I'm truly blessed. It's wonder working power. The fourth word for tonight is E. You probably wonder, can you take a shot at what you think E means? I know some of us probably know E-Trade, but well, I'm going to clue you in. E meaning everlasting power. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you know, hey, we got microwaves and televisions and radios and alarm clocks and lamps and everything else. And man, you know, as long as we got that electricity, everything's going to be working. But boom, the moment the lights go out, guess what? Everything quits working. But God's words does not quit. God's words never go offline. God's direct line of communication is never a busy signal. And most of us who plays around on the internet, we know the little familiar, I call it the wagon wheel of death, that little circle buffering when you try to click on something. We never get buffered. Folks, God's words is everlasting power. Again, you want proof? I'm going to give you proof. You ready? You ready for it now, huh? Are you? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. And you'll see your proof. It says this, plain and simple, folks. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words will by no means pass away. Huh? Wait a minute. There must be something wrong in that passage. Hold on a minute. Because I ain't been getting what I've been getting. Oh, wait, yeah, hold on. Look at it again. God's word says it. He says heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will by no means pass away. It's everlasting. You see, in today's society, there's only a few things everlasting. I heard someone made a comment today. We kind of live in a society. It's called a throwaway society. Instead of investing money in fixing things or whatever, whenever it breaks or kind of goes bad, we just throw it away. Because it's not lasting. Temporal possessions deteriorate over time. But the power of God's words endures forever. Guns and tanks and not even nuclear power can destroy it. And we know this in accordance to God's words. We know it cannot be destroyed. The fact remains because Psalms chapter 119 verse 89 says this. See, everything I'm telling you tonight, folks, is proof. Everything I'm telling you tonight is truth. This is not Jimmy telling you this. This is the Word of God telling you this. And look what it says. Forever, O Lord, your words is settled in heaven. It's settled. Y'all know what settled means. Once it's settled, it's done. That's it. There's no reneging on it. There's no changing. It's a done deal. So everything from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is done. It's happened, and it will happen. And it's truth. And the last word for tonight, I know I'm running a little long in this, folks, I'm sorry, but the last word for tonight are, meaning, very simple, revealing power. Again, we're back to our reading verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Same verse. Look what it says. It says, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wow, really? Yeah. You see, the meaning here is that God's word reveals his will for humankind. It reveals his love and offers the promise of salvation to those who repent and believe on Jesus Christ. It reveals the Holy Spirit who cleanses, empowers, and directs totally 100% committed Christians. And again, we know by facts. We know this by the word, because according to John chapter 16, verse 13 clearly states this. There's no denying the facts, because that's his word. His word is truth, and his word says this. John 16, verse 13 says, which he is saying, this is Jesus himself, it's not me again. Some folks become mad when you use the word, but I'm sorry. If you're getting mad at me because I'm using the word, it's because you're getting mad at God, not me. But notice what it says. I use this passage a lot. Many of my friends, when we're in church, we talk about it. It says, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Well, in other words, you want to read what's reading right there. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come, folks. That is power. Power. He, not us. Not us. In other words, folks, the only true word of God has any power. Only the true word of God has any power. Nothing else. Nothing else has that kind of power. Nothing. You will not find that kind of power in this world today. And God, in fact, he opposes men who simply quote each other and attribute it to him. And what I mean by that, men quote many things, but they attribute to God. Oh, God said it's okay for this. God said it's okay for that. God says you can do this. God says you can live a same-sex lifestyle. God says you can act this way. God says you can have sex outside of marriage. God said, you know, folks, that is wrong. The word of God is truth, and you better start living in truth. Because I'm telling you, each and every one of you here tonight, and whoever's listening to this message, there is going to come a day, and including me, and I'm sorrowful for the things that I am, going to have to stand before Jesus and confess, because nothing will be hid, because he says every outer word spoken will be revealed to him, and we're going to be judged by that. So don't listen to what the world is telling you right now. You better start digging your life into the real truth, the real word of God, the power of God. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to myself. This is why we cannot trust man. We can only trust God. And doing so, we trust him, because only the knowledge of his word can lead a person to the true knowledge of him and consequently his power. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. inspired by God himself, the Bible gives us the master key to knowing him. Scriptures speaks of things beyond our seeing, things beyond our hearing, things beyond our imagination, all prepared by God for those who love him. And these are what God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. No matter how weak or ill-equipped we are at times, we can rely on the power of God. We have the assurance that God is able to do what he says that he can do and will do, and all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Whoa, stand up and shout. Praise God. Whew. And we know him. And we know his words. We have confidence that God will accomplish his good in our lives. This just came to me today. I had to edit it today because we quote this verse all the time. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And guess what, folks? I've been getting it wrong for many years because a lot of people has hit me with that. And they say, well, how can good come out of this? Well, how can good come out of that? How can good can come out of this? Jimmy, I don't understand why you quote that verse. You know, there can't be no good out of it. Well, folks, it hit me today when I was looking over this and reviewing this. I saw it. I saw it. My eyes were open to it because what it's telling us, and listen to this very closely. What that verse is really telling us by heart, that we have confidence, listen closely, that God will accomplish his good in our lives. See, we misquote that passage a lot. What that really is boiling down to, God will accomplish his good, not ours, not the world's, not evil and whatever, his good. Once you sit there and think about that a little bit, and even though you see bad things happen, you gotta let yourself go and say, okay, God, it's your good. I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust it. You see, because in the Word of God, there is power, and in that power, I want to ask you this. Are you walking in the light of the revealed Word of God? There's power. There's power in that Word. And I keep repeating this again. Are you walking in the light of the revealed Word of God? Are you shining with radiance of Jesus Christ? Have you become his letter to be known and read by all men and women who see you so that they too might receive the revelation of God's words? Are you living it? Are you demonstrating it? Are you a model to them? Are you illustrating it? Are you living proof that you're living in the power of God's words? Are you? And may we come to know the revealed word and the power of what the word who brought forth light at the dawn of creation and is shining today upon the hearts of those who seek his face. And I'm going to leave you with this tonight. Folks, when you speak to someone else and you talk to them, think about what I said here tonight. Let us embrace the full counsel of God, asking him to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ through all of the scriptures. Because again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it clearly states this. And I love it how it's worded. And it says, for the creation waits in eager anticipation or expectation for the children of God to be revealed. We wait in eager expectation for God to be revealed. Come into your revealing as a child of God, friends. Walk in the revealing word of the Spirit, truth, and love. And the reason why I'm telling you this, because the fact is, for He is Spirit. He is truth. He is love. And may we not rest until we know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and make Him known. Make Him known. Because truly, this is the abundant life that Jesus speaks of. Amen. Let's pray.